Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rao, Hare Rao, Rao Rao, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rao, Hare Rao, Rao Rao, so all of you begin chanting from this big bead. Don't touch this finger like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then you touch the next bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, come to this and don't cross this summit. Again, begin from here. Here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, again from this side, again from this, in this way, 16 rounds. It requires practice, otherwise 16 rounds means it takes only 1 hour, 2 minutes, 20 minutes. But in the beginning you cannot. So, it is not 5 minutes for each round. If you take 10 minutes, then 160 minutes. So, a little more than 2 hours. If you devote, you are going to be relieved from this material contamination. So you can, life should be dedicated 24 hours for Krishna consciousness. Those who are engaged in these temple activities, there may be some concession because their life is Krishna consciousness. But those who are outside, they must regularly chant 16 rounds without fail. Those who are outside. So, and follow the restrictive rules and the 10 kinds of offenses. Give me that paper. The first offense is blaspheming the Lord's devotee. Anyone, it does not matter that your spiritual master is devotee and nobody is devotee. No. The devotee, the life of devotee is already explained that he is fixed up in God. He has no other business than to think of God, talk of God, preaching of God. He is a devotee. It does not matter whether he is born this country or that province or this planet or that planet. Anyone whose life is simply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in thoughts of God, he is a devotee. So, we should not blaspheme that our process is better, your process is. That is due to ignorance. So, this is offense, blaspheming the devotee. And then considering the lords and the demigods on the same level, or assuming that there are many gods. God is one. It is nonsense to think that there are many gods. If there are many gods, then there is no meaning of God. Ekameva dityam. The Veda says, God is one, without any second. Without any competitor. If God has competitor, then he is not God. The definition of God is that supreme. So if there are many, then how God can be supreme? God is great. God is great means nobody is greater than Him, nobody is equal to Him. Everybody is under Him. You may have very high qualifications, but you cannot be equal to God. God is one. Therefore, the Mayavadi's philosophy that you can accept by imagination any form of God, and that is all right. No. You should have actually the form of God. Just like Krishna says, Mam Ekam. Ekam means only one unto me. Of course, there are many other forms of God, but in order to concentrate your mind perfectly, you should always think of Krishna. Mam Ekam Saranam Bhaja. So, we do not accept this nonsense philosophy that any name we chant, it becomes God's. No. God's name. Of course, the God's name may be sounding just like you say water, I say jol. But mean that object is the same. Similarly, if you have got actually any name for God, that's all right. Otherwise, take to Krishna. Krishna means all attract. And God's name cannot be otherwise. If God is not all attractive, then He is not God. If God is attractive for a certain type of man or certain class of man and is not attractive for others, then He is not God. So, you see Krishna's activities, Krishna's bodily feature, Krishna's instruction, there is one sublime. Sublime. Therefore He is God. And it is not our sentiment, but it is confirmed by the Vedic literature. Bhagavad says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Brahma Sanghita says, Ishara Parama Krishna. There are many gods, demigods, but God is one. Arjuna says, Parabrahma. Every living entity is Brahma. But He is Parabrahma, the Supreme Brahma. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matta Paratara Nasti Kinchid Asti Dhananja. There is nothing more superior than me. So these are, we have to take evidences from this Shastra, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sam. So nobody should think that if I chant the name of this demigod or that demigod, is equal to chant the name of Hari or Krishna. No, that is an offense. This is the third offense. Then, neglecting the orders of the spiritual master. The beginning of initiation is to voluntarily accept the spiritual master to abide by his order. So if you disobey his order, then it is offense. This is fourth offense. The fifth offense, interpreting the holy name of God. Interpreting, because we have got very fertile brain, we can interpret in so many ways. Maya gives us such knowledge, this way and that way, that way. No, don't try to interpret. Therefore we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, no interpretation. Krishna says that Mam Ekam Saranam Braja. Krishna says, just surrender unto me. And we are teaching, just surrender to Krishna. Is there any difference? No difference. They are speaking, we are actually the representative of Krishna. Krishna says, surrender unto me. And we, in the disciplic succession of this Krishna consciousness movement, we are also speaking just surrender to Krishna. We do not imitate, do not interpret that this me means me. The Mayavadi philosopher, they say, the me, everyone can say me means I, unto me. But is that grammatically correct? If I say that, please give me a glass of water. Now, if every one of you say, this me means me, so if you take every one of us, you want a glass of water? This is nonsense interpreting. But the Mayavadi philosophers, because they are atheists, because they do not accept the existence of God, they interpret the shastras in different way, so that, but that cannot stand. That may be a very nice to some foolish man, but actually, if some they meet some intelligent man, then they are divided. So this sort of interpretation is useless. Committing sin on the strength of chanting. Now, this is your beginning of life. This chanting means whatever you have done in your past life, sinful, that is now squared up. But you should not anymore commit sin. The four pillars of sinful life is this. What is that? That illicit sex, that intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. These are the four pillars, just like your table stands on the four legs, or this house stands on four legs, four wheel, its car stands. Simply sinful life personified stands on these four pillars. If you break these four pillars, then it has no standing. Now, whatever has been done, is done. That is not your disqualification. This Krishna consciousness movement does not say that, first of all, you just like other shastras say, atonement, or you pay some fine for your sinful life. No. Every conditioned soul is apt to commit so many sins, knowingly or unknowingly. So whatever is done, is done. Now from this day, no more sinful life. Don't think, oh, I am chanting Hare Krishna, so this is a counteracting method. So let me commit this sinful act and it will be counteracted because I am chanting. Don't do that. You don't believe in that way. Not that is just like somebody says that you commit sin, but you confess and you are, that's all right. By confessing, your sinful reaction is eradicated. But if you commit again, that is foolishness. This example I have given you several times. Just like if you have committed something wrong, you go to the court, criminal. If you say, my Lord, I did not know this, unlawful. Next time I shall be careful, I shall not do it. Then there is excuse. But if next time you go to the court and you say, please excuse, there is no excuse. So, this confession, once is right, twice is right, thrice is right, fourth time you are severely punished. That is common sense. So you do not commit sin because you, by mistake, you might commit some sin. That may be excused. But if you take it a business, that because I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra, therefore I can commit this sin, there is no reaction. No, there is an offense. It is a great offense. Then, seventh offense, instructing the glories of the Lord's name to the unfaithful. This chanting a Hare Krishna mantra we offer when one has become faithful. So many students come to us, but we see, first of all, that he is now faithful, he is faithfully discharging. So generally we allow 6 months' time to see how he is faithfully executing. Then we offer this bead. Otherwise, if he is faithless, then after some time it will he'll give it up. For the spiritual master it is also offense if one is faithless. This chanting of bead should not be given to him. This is an offense. And then, comparing the holy name with material piety. Just like this function we are holding today, it is not to be considered as some pious activity. It is transcendental. Pious activity can give you some reward in this material world. But this activity is beyond this material world. It will give you place back to home, back to Godhead. So don't compare with ordinary pious activity. Just like somebody gives in charity, somebody makes something religious activity. Here it is beyond religion. Beyond religion. The Krishna consciousness movement is beyond all religion. It is the postgraduate study of all religion. So, don't compare with any pious activity. Then, inattention while chanting the holy name. Now, you should chant this Hare Krishna and you should hear also. If your mind is acting, your mind is somewhere else, and you are chanting, that is an offense. You should hear, this is called samadhi. If you chant and hear, then your mind is interlocked by hearing and chanting. This is samadhi. Samadhi means trance. Trance means completely absorbed. So, by hearing and chanting, acting both ways, you will be in trance. And that trance will keep you in the transcendental state. That is called samadhi. So if we become inattentive, that is offense. And attachment to material things while engaged in the practice of chant. We should always remember that we are trying to be elevated to the spiritual platform. So, spiritual platform means no more anxiety for sense gratification. That is spiritual platform. Material platform means everyone is hankering after sense gratification. All the people that are working day and night very hard, the aim is sex at night. That's all. Sense gratification. For me, they cannot work if they have no facility for sex. But these devotees of Krishna, their aim is how to satisfy Krishna. That is the difference. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life. Material life means everyone is trying to how to satisfy his sex. And spiritual life means he is also trying in the same way, but his aim is how to satisfy Krishna. So my occupation to satisfy something, that will continue. You cannot stop it. But spiritual life means to satisfy Krishna. And material life means satisfy my senses. That is it. So in every action, if you put this test, whether you are satisfying your senses or you are satisfying your Krishna, you can test it. And as soon as you see that I am satisfying my whims and senses, then it is not Krishna. In this way, make progress, and if you fail sometimes, Krishna will excuse you, but you must be very much strict guarding against this fall down, then your elevation will be very quick and it will be very sound. So follow these principles of offenses, and there are 26 kinds of good qualification. Qualification of a devotee. How you are becoming a devotee? You shall put yourself into this test. This test is kind to everyone. A devotee is kind to everyone. A devotee is not kind to his family or to his community or to the humanity. We are kind in his material sense. First of all to myself, then to my brothers and sisters or friends, then my family, then my community, then my country, or then my nation, or ultimately the inter-nation, the whole humanity. So much. But all these are imperfect, unless you come to the point of Krishna. You increase your love from self to society, society to community, community to nation, and then to humanity. But these are all imperfect. Unless you come to the point to love Krishna, then everything is imperfect. Therefore, kind to all. All means that Krishna is all, God is all. So if you love Krishna and God, then you love all. Just like if you pour water on the root of the tree, then you pour water to the whole tree. And if you try to pour water in each and every leaf and branches, it will spoil your time. The example is always given. Just like if you give foodstuff to your stomach, the energy is immediately distributed to all parts of the body. But if you take individually, this finger, this eyes, that eyes, it is all useless, waste of time. This is not the process. If you want to love all, then love Krishna. Then it will be distilled. This is the science. So this is the qualification of the devotee. By loving Krishna, you are loving your countrymen. In spite of so many hindrances, police opposition, public opposition, you are going daily. Why? To give them some transcendental message. This is loving all. I have come to your country. Why? For loving Krishna. Therefore I am loving you. You are loving me. Make Krishna center. Then love will be distributed. Otherwise it is useless waste of time. So, of course, heat and everything will take time. You note this, that you should see that actually your qualities are developing. These qualities are there, already there, but it is now covered by material cause. As soon as the proportionately your material coverings are open, you get your original. That is Krishna consciousness. And there are so many, 26 qualities, kind to all, does not quarrel with anyone, fixed in the absolute truth, equal to everyone, faultless, charitable, mild, clean, simple, benevolent, peaceful, completely attached to Krishna, no material hankering, meek, steady, self-controlled, does not eat more than required. This is very nice. Don't eat more, don't eat less. Just to keep your body and soul together. That's all. Sane. Sane, then respectful, humble, grave, compassionate, friendly, poetic. This is also another qualification. A devotee must be poetic by describing the qualities of Krishna. Poetic and expert. A devotee is very expert, that you have shown already in this constructing or renovating this temple. We did not ask for any outside worker, but all our devotees work so nice. That is the qualification of a devotee. That any work you offer to a devotee, and in Bengal it is said, Jutushalai Chandiva, beginning from the swing of shoes up to the temple worship, in every respect he should be expert. He cannot say, oh, I cannot do this. No. He'll do everything. Yes. He'll never think, oh, this is not suitable for me. So we can cook, we can sweep, we can work as a carpenter, or anything what is required, of course. We don't require any other technological knowledge. But for our own business, all the devotees are expert. They can do anything. Yeah. Expert and silent. They do not talk much. Except Krishna, they will not talk much. They will not waste their energy. This is also. In this way, develop these 26 qualities and avoid the 10 kinds of offenses and be happy and make progress. Yes. Now, apart from yoga, yes. Remember, your name is Rishabh. Rishabhdev was sometimes the emperor of the world, and he he is incarnation of God, and his son his eldest son was Bharat Maharaj, and by following his name, Bharat, this planet is called Bharatvarsha. This whole planet is called Bharatvarsha. So your name is Rishabhdev Das. That means Krishna Das. Yeah. And who is John? Yes. Your name is Janakraj. Janakraj. Janakraj was also a very big king, and he was the father of Sita, wife of Lord Ramchandra. So you are Janakraj Das. And Lenin, yes. Your name is very nice. Narada Muni. Yes. So, Narada Muni travels all the space. So you have to do that. By chanting in this Bina, you'll be able. Yes. So your name is very nice. Narada Muni. Then you are Richard? Yeah. Your name is Bhaskara. Bhaskara means who illuminates. That means the sun. So you illuminate the whole world by this Krishna consciousness knowledge. Yes. Yeah. And your name is Amogha. Amogha means without any sin. So you must be very careful about these portions. All right. Then. All right.